Now, before we go into the next topic, which has to do with airlines, flying, and cancer, I want to share some information with you that I think a number of you will be able to benefit from. You know, we've had members of the Augusta Housing and Community Development on the program a number of times in the past, and I want to share with you something that actually is a follow-up to something that they did last year, and I really want as many of you as possible to be involved this year, particularly, I mean, business people. They're having their annual Seeds for Life grant program. Seeds for Life Small Business Development Grant. That's what it is. And it's a $10,000 competitive grant where small businesses submit a business outline application in the first round. Then, through an established scoring system, chosen candidates will compete in the second round and get the opportunity to pitch their company before a 10-member panel of local business and economic development professionals in hopes of being awarded one of the five $10,000 grants that will be available this year. Let me tell you where you can go to apply. Simply go to portal, P-O-R-T-A-L, portal.neighborlysoftware.com/Augusta/participant. The opening date for submission of the application is June 10th, and the closing date will be July 19th at 11:59 p.m. Small business owners are the ones who are being asked to apply. I'll be announcing this again over the weekend on Saturday, but I wanted to make sure that those of you who are only with me during the week get in on this as well. Also, I want to let you know that, you know, we have had an ongoing relationship with the United Way of the CSRA for some years now. And I want to tell you about their Book Bash 2019. As a lot of you know, I really like to encourage people, particularly students, to not let the brain get lazy during the summer and we end up losing some of our academic ability and acumen over the summer because we're not involved and we're not engaging the brain in things like reading, solving math problems, you name it. Well, the United Way of the CSRA and the AmeriCorps Vistas are going to be teaming up for their third annual Book Bash and Outdoor Fun Day event that's going to be held this Friday, tomorrow, June 7th. That event's going to take place from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m. at 1765 Broad Street at Croc Center's Lower Field Lawn. The Croc Center's Lower Field Lawn, 1765 Broad Street. Again, one of the purposes is to help our children hold on to what you learn during the school year by engaging that brain. And look, one report says that it only takes 2 to 3 hours per week, not per day, 2 to 3 hours per week of students engaging in some learning activities in order to prevent the summer slide and propel you to the next grade. Only 2 to 3 hours per week. Surely you can invest 2 to 3 hours per week. So they're going to have over 17,000 books that have already been collected. And they're going to be over 800 backpacks filled with free books, summer reading material for parents, and local community resources that will be distributed on a first-come, first-served basis to children aged 0 to 17. How many of you enjoy reading to your unborn babies? I know I used to enjoy doing that with all of my children. I did not wait until they were 3 years old to start reading to them, playing music. No, while they were in the womb, I was reading to them, talking with them, playing music. And so, again, it's going to be great. Character reading sessions will take place. There will be lunch items, kid crafts, a bouncing house, and more that will be accompanied by several book stations filled with thousands of free books for kids and families to take home and remain educationally active. The event is open to the public, and it is going to take place rain or shine. So if it starts raining, don't say, oh, man, I was going to go to the book bash, but now it's raining. It's going to take place rain or shine. So again, that is this Friday, June 7th, at the Kroc Center, 1765 Broad Street, from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m. So be sure to get in on that. All right, now, I wanted you to hear something, hear a couple of, I would say, noteworthy items, courtesy of BBC, about, well, first one is going to have to do with cancer and flying, and the second one will have to do with basketball and some breakthroughs taking place in the sport. First, cancer and flying.
Now, the average flight attendant might well spend the equivalent of 120 working days in the sky each year, or in some countries, even longer. They get to see the world, but new research confirms that spending this much time in the sky could be a larger risk to their health than previously thought, with flight attendants having an increased chance of getting several different types of cancer. The new study is larger than many and includes some cancers for the first time. Dr. Irina Mordakovich, who's a research associate at the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health, compared the general population with flight attendants. And even though these are healthy working people, she told me there was more cancer in this group.
So we found higher rates of breast cancer, melanoma, and non-melanoma skin cancers. And we also found higher rates for actually all the other cancers we looked at as well, but those were less precise because there are a smaller number of those cancers in our population.
So this is very worrying for people who do work on planes. What is going on there? Why are flight crew more at risk of getting cancer than other people?
So we don't know for sure, and that's not something that we can test in our study. But the exposures that we worry about that we know that flight attendants have that could be linked with cancer, the main one is cosmic ionizing radiation, which is a form of radiation that comes from outer space. And it's a particularly DNA damaging form of radiation, even compared to other types of ionizing radiation. And by the time it reaches ground level, it's at very low levels. But when you're flying at altitude, it is much higher. And so flight attendants and pilots are both considered to be radiation workers. And in the U.S., they're the most highly exposed radiation workers. So that's one concern that we have. And then another concern is UV radiation, because it's also higher at altitude, and it comes in through the windows on the airplane. And then the third major exposure that we're concerned about is circadian rhythm disruption, which comes from sleep cycles being disrupted and exposure to light at night because of shift work and working at night and crossing time zones.
So is the difficulty that all these things would affect passengers as well, but you're not on the plane for nearly as long and not nearly as many as hours in total as people who work on planes are because they go and do it every few days?
Yeah, I think that's the idea. So frequent flyers or passengers in general haven't been studied, to my knowledge, with respect to cancer, but they would be exposed to the same types of exposures, but we don't know what frequency it becomes an issue. Approximately on average, 30 hours of flying is the equivalent of one chest x-ray. So it takes a while for most passengers to reach those 30 hours, but for flight crew, it ends up accumulating pretty quickly.
So this is very concerning for people who do work on planes because it's hard to see how they can reduce their exposure. And what sorts of things could you do? I guess you could block off the windows so that you didn't have the UV light, although that wouldn't be so nice for everybody else.
Yeah, I know that some windows have protections built in against UV radiation that you can protect against UVA radiation, but I think UVB radiation is harder to protect against. But I don't know if it would be doable or not. And then in the European Union, right now, flight attendant schedules are modified in order to reduce the radiation exposure. They can't eliminate it, but all their radiation doses are monitored. And if they're reaching a certain maximum level, then their schedules are adjusted accordingly. And that's not the case in the U.S. at the moment. So that's another concern that we have.
So do you know whether we see lower levels of cancer as a result amongst flight attendants working in the EU than in the US?
So the studies coming out of Europe, for the most part, show elevated rates of cancer as well, but I'm not sure if they're elevated to the same extent or not.
Is there anything that could be done to block the cosmic ionizing radiation from outer space somehow so that it's not having the same impact in the plane?
That's a really good question, and I'm not an engineer or an expert on this at all. My understanding is that it would be very difficult, though, because usually the way it's blocked is with lead or a different heavy metal. And, you know, I imagine having lead built into the plane, it just sounds like it wouldn't work. A lead plane, it just sounds like it wouldn't be able to really take off. So as far as I know, there isn't an easy way to do it. I know that you could potentially maybe wear something that would block it off. I don't know how cumbersome it would be, if it would be doable, but you know, just like at the doctor's office or the dentist's office, when you have to wear the lead aprons, maybe there's something similar that could be built into uniforms.
Changing regulations would be one thing, but is there anything that individuals working in the airline industry can do for themselves?
So I think some precautions that people could take is to wear sunscreen when they're at work, since UV radiation is a potential concern. And in terms of the circadian rhythm disruption, if they could tried their best to have as best sleep hygiene as possible when they're back home, you know, and when they're on their rest times, if they can try to go to bed at a consistent time and just try to have as healthy sleep patterns as they can. And then otherwise, just to have as healthy of a lifestyle as they can, have a healthy diet, exercise, the standard recommendations.
How serious would you say this extra risk that flight crew face compared with everybody else is when it comes to cancer?
So that's not really something we can answer from our study. The numbers are concerning. The fact that the rates are so much are a lot higher in our study is definitely something that's of concern, but our findings would need to be replicated in further study populations. And we can't say for sure how much is coming from the work and how much is coming from other factors that flight attendants have that might be different from the population. So probably the take home that I would have from the study would be that there are these exposures of concern, and we also see these higher cancer rates, and that's something that people should think about.
Irina Mordakovic. Now, Sarah.
Wow. What do you think about that? And I'm thinking, man, what a dilemma. I'm saying a dilemma in my mind. It may be a dilemma. You know, a person whose profession is flying. And now we're finding that they're the most radiated professionals in the country. What should they do? I'm thinking, you know, like she was saying, clothes. There could be certain types of clothes that maybe the employees could wear. Is there a way to make a thin layer of lead that could fit inside the uniforms that the people wear? And I'm thinking even some attractive headgear, because I think that while it would be great to cover the arms, the torso, the legs, etc., the head would have to have some protection as well. And I mentioned, you know, a thin layer of lead, because of course lead can get pretty heavy. Would there be a safe way to produce lead clothes, or is there some other material, some other element that can be used to protect the employees, the airline, the plane riding employees from some of that risk, some of that danger? Okay, when we come back, we're going to be talking basketball and a breakthrough in basketball.